Well, hello there, and welcome to my Almost Midlife Crisis, that podcast that's about that time in your life when you're no longer young, but listen, you're not old yet either, okay? There's still plenty of time. I'm your host, Jennifer Villamil. So we took a week off. My last episode was, two weeks ago when I was celebrating my 40th birthday and Christian graduating from getting his MBA. So it was a big weekend, big birthday. And then since then, I had family in town for the week. I had friends come into town. We had a baby shower. There was a lot going on. And you know what? At 31 weeks pregnant, I was tired and I needed a break. So I took one and I gave myself the grace to do that. But we're back and I am so excited to share kind of the updates about, you know, what's been going on lately. So in today's show, we're going to be talking about the baby shower, as well as I went to my first prenatal class about understanding labor and delivery, which I'm not going to lie, I was pleasantly surprised that I was not traumatized during that experience. So let's jump into it. So let's talk about baby showers, because I will say up until now, I would say one of my least favorite ways to spend a Saturday afternoon would be going to a baby shower. I'm sorry. I hate to say it. I've been to so many of them and I always appreciate being part of that experience with the mom and being able to kind of support her and celebrate with her. But at the same time, I hated going to baby showers. I've been thinking a lot about it. I was like, what did I have that was like so against baby showers? But I think it was not really that it was a baby shower and more just the fact that at the time I had really no like connection to it. Like I couldn't relate to it, you know? And I felt like every time I would go to one, I just felt really left out because everyone there was either like moms or soon to be moms. And they, you know, the whole time you're just talking about kids and babies. And I really had nothing to contribute to the conversation. Plus, I just really didn't like some of the games. Like the whole having a bunch of grown-ass women like licking chocolate out of a diaper or like smelling it and trying to pick what candy it is. I'm sorry. Like it's too much. Like that's gross. I don't want to do that. I also don't want to try baby food, right? Like there's that game too, where you have to like blind taste test the baby food and then try to pick what it is. I don't want to do that. Like there are some fun games that I've done over the years. Like I really liked this Price is Right game but more just because I love Price is Right. Like I don't even care what the products are. If we're playing Price is Right, like I'm happy. So like that one was fun. But it was, you know, 9 times out of 10, the games are just, I don't know, they're not my thing. Plus, I always hated when you would go and they wouldn't have like an alcoholic option. And I'm like, if I have to sit here for hours and talk about babies and see you open gifts on things that I don't even understand what they're for yet, right? Like if you're just like a single person going to a baby shower and you spend a good hour watching people open gifts, which the whole opening gifts in front of people too, I understand why it happens. It makes me uncomfortable doing it. It's like even for my bridal shower, I hated, that was my least favorite part was opening gifts. I just feel like there's like a lot of expectation on how you're going to react to them. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure. Like, I feel like I don't want to be doing it for too long and like annoy or bore people. I don't know. It's just kind of uncomfortable, but when you're single and you don't have kids and you're nowhere even, like, you don't even know if you want kids at that point, right? Like I would be going to these and watching them open gifts and like half the gifts. I'm like, what is that for? Like what? And they'd be like, oh, these these ice pad, like nipple ice pads. And I was like, for what? Right? Like, what is that? I just felt so out of place. And so I think that was kind of why for so long I would kind of begrudgingly go to these baby showers. But I mean, again, like why I went was because I wanted to show my support, and I did want to be part of those, you know, big moments for my friends and family members. But it was, you know, I could think of other ways I would spend a Saturday for sure. that maybe would be higher on the list. But I was excited for my baby shower because, well, it's my baby shower. And you know what? And I'm a Leo and we like to be the center of attention. So, in total transparency, having a party and a day about me, was great. I'm never going to complain about that. But I did make sure that we thought about the guests, right? And I thought about what do I not like about baby showers and how do I make this as pleasurable of an experience as I can. Although I guess at this point, I really only have like a couple people in my life that don't have kids. And but yet I still feel like they're way more supportive and into it than I was. So probably just because they now they have like nieces and nephews and actual like kids in their lives one way or another. So I don't know, maybe it's not the same. But I thought about that when we were thinking about like what game should we play and like how long should the shower be? What should the alcohol situation be? Like I took all of that into account. So we did a safari theme. And that is actually for a couple reasons. So you know, I feel like all kids, I don't know if this is like written in some book somewhere, but I feel like all kids are supposed to have their like their animal, right? I at least it's like every Pinterest board or everything that I see, it seems like you have to pick a theme. Like, what's your theme gonna be for your kids, like nursery, for your kid, etc. So for us, it's elephants and safari. And that is because a couple reasons. So one, it's actually because the first trip that Christian and I went on as a couple was to Tanzania to climb Kilimanjaro and go on safari. And so it's always kind of meant something to us. And we both love animals. We both loved the safari. And we saw a ton of elephants during the safari. And we learned a lot, right? Like we learned how, well, first of all, how African elephants are the mean ones and the Indian ones are actually the nice ones, which good to know. Like people in Africa are like terrified of elephants because like they do not mess around in Africa. They are not your like sweet, cute. Well, I mean, they're cute, but you stay your distance for sure because they're super aggressive. But we loved how they, you know, they travel in a herd. They take care of their herd, right? Like they all stick together. Their little one, I mean, like a baby elephant is just probably like one of the cutest animals, even though they're still big already. But you know, there's just so much like love and caring between like a parent elephant and the baby. And we also actually in Thailand, we stayed in an elephant sanctuary when we were there. And we actually bathed a baby elephant. And it was just such a special experience. I don't think either of us will ever forget, like to be able to just get that close to one and touch them and they're like playing with you. And it was just so memorable and wonderful. And the elephant itself was just so cute and playful and like seemed happy. And so I think elephant was like a kind of an easy decision for us. And they're so smart and there really is like this sense of community within their family, right? And so we loved all of those things about elephants. And then, you know, in the broader scale, we wanted to include other animals like for decor or whatever. So we went broader to a safari. So that was the theme of the shower. And And it came to life in a lot of different ways. My mom hosted it, and she did a great job in really bringing all the decor together. And there was, you know, different, like in the flowers, there was like little different, like baby elephant, baby giraffe, you know, baby koala, like stuff like that. And I actually had these cookies that were made, these like custom cookies that were safari based that not only were adorable, and I'll have them on my Instagram, but they also were delicious. Like I had a lot of them. I think I had four before the party even started. So, you know, I do have a sweet tooth right now. So like, don't put a plate of gorgeous custom cookies in front of me, in front of a pregnant woman, like it will get eaten. So we had that, we had appetizers. And then we had kind of like the main lunch, which was like a chicken Caesar salad and some sandwiches and some pasta, whatever. And then we had dessert because I'm sorry, like my sweet tooth has been my sweet tooth this whole time. And there's no way I wasn't going to have dessert. So we had not just the cookies, but we had Jenny's. See how my name's Jennifer? Jenny's ice cream. See, that kind of goes together. But we had like a Jenny's ice cream bar where you could pick your flavor and you could pick, do you want it in a cup or in a cone? Kind of like perfect summer, you know, dessert, right? Because it was hot. It was like 90 something degrees out. It was very hot that day. So ice cream was kind of like the perfect, thank God we were inside. But no, it was great. So it was like safari themed. And the games that we played, we did do the guess the size of the belly, which, you know what? It's fun, I guess. It's not my favorite. It's not my favorite. Just because people guessing how wide you are is an awkward place to be in the room. Never really had that experience before. So it was interesting. Could you imagine doing that when you're not pregnant? Like if you just had a birthday party and you were like, hey guys, like guess my waist size. Like that's just a trap. Like no one's going to do that. No one is going to be like, well, I don't know. I think you're at a 30 or I think you're at like a 25, right? No one is guessing your waist measurement unless you're pregnant. That's like only acceptable at that time. So yeah, that was one of the games. Thank God it was quick and painless. But the thing that was interesting, so my mom had bought one of those, like for the game, it was like this kind of like a ribbon that had measurements on it, right? So to kind of wrap around and it looks cute instead of just like a tape measure. But this thing was so long, like it was, like we used maybe 20% of it, like not even. I mean, it just kept going and going and going. And my mom and I were talking after and we were like, why is it so long though? Like there, it is physically impossible for somebody to need this whole thing because it's, I mean, you would be an elephant. Like you would be a full size elephant in order to use this whole thing and wrap it around. Like I don't understand the manufacturer's rationale for making it like a 10 foot long piece of plastic because no one needs that amount. Unless I guess, you know, you're really like a money saver and you're like, I'm going to buy this once and use it for every single one of my kids. Like, I don't know. But even then you could just I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I really would like to understand from the manufacturers. These are the small things that go through my head. The other piece, the other game, which I think the thought was there. I think the execution left us lacking a little bit. It was a little confusing for people, but I thought it would be funny and more personalized if we did like a Jennifer's like top likes and dislikes about being pregnant. And had people kind of rank them to like, what do I like the best to what do I like the least? And what do I kind of hate the most versus hate the least? And it was kind of a complete fail. I'm not gonna lie. The idea was, is we gave people a piece of paper and then all they had to do was like rank them. And then when they were finished ranking, everyone would stand up and we would kind of go through them, and you would sit down as you were getting them wrong, and whoever was the last person standing, we would win. It sounds simple. Well, it did not prove out that way. First of all, it was really confusing on like what should be labeled number one versus number 10. So there was a lot of confusion around that. And then like we literally got to the second one and like everyone was sitting down. Like everyone got it wrong. So then we had to kind of think on our feet and we're like, okay, this is how we're going to do it. Just how many do you get right? And then that's who wins. But it was a little bit of a fail, but I don't know. I still thought it was entertaining. I hope other people did, but let's go through some of them. So for my pregnancy likes, and honestly, I don't remember the order. And to be totally fair, the order is obviously like super subjective. And I sometimes feel like it changes by day because it just depends on how I feel that day and maybe like what happened that day. So some of the likes, I don't remember all of them, but some of them are things like bigger breasts, which was funny because a lot of people apparently had that as like my top like. I was like, what does that say? That like, what does that say that you think that the thing I like the most about being pregnant out of everything is bigger boobs? Does that mean that normally you think that I wish I had bigger boobs? Because I don't know. I mean, when I was younger, for sure. I mean, I was like a late bloomer. I pretty much had no boobs until college. And even then I was like, not much. That's like when, I don't know if you remember, but that's when the water bra was like popular, where instead of padding, it was like straight up gel or water in the bra. So it like felt natural. And then obviously, you know, if you're having a moment with somebody and you take it off, they're like, whoa, that's not what I was expecting. A little false advertisement there. Yeah, I was pretty small. And I remember thinking like, if they don't get bigger at some point in my life, I'm going to get a boob job. But then as I got older and honestly, like society changed. And I think it went away from like fake boobs, Pamela Anderson, to like more being accepting of natural breast size, which is like sad we even had to make that turn because they're boobs and we don't have a choice on how big they are. And we should have always accepted them for the size that they are. But there was definitely a time where like the bigger and the faker, the better. And that was during my most formative years. So that's what I thought was beautiful. But as I got older and society also kind of came around, I realized the benefits to not having huge breasts. Like I could run. I don't have to wear two sports bras. I could wear no bra with a shirt and it'd be fine. Like I'm not falling out. They don't really sag as much. Like there's a lot of very real benefits. My back doesn't hurt because of them. I mean, it hurts because I'm getting older and for other reasons, but it's not because of my boob size. So I actually have come to appreciate the size of my breasts, but I'm not going to lie, from a temporary standpoint, it's nice to, you know, I mean, that's an enjoyable out of the side effects of being pregnant. Granted, that's a low bar. It's a low bar. Like when the side effects are things like constipation, fatigue, backaches, nausea, vomiting, like bigger boobs is definitely a plus versus the others. But a lot of people had it as number one. And I was like, okay, it is something that I enjoy. Maybe it's Christian's number one, but it's not my number one. But that was one of them. Another one was actually maternity clothes because I really thought that they were just going to be hideous. And listen, there are a lot that are. Like, I look at them and there's still so many that are just like, let's just put a massive muumuu on you. And like, that's your maternity wear. And like, I'm not trying to look like that. Like, that doesn't look good on anybody, by the way. Like, a huge, flowy, muumuu type dress does not look good on any body type. It is not flattering. And it especially isn't flattering when you have a big baby bump. It just makes you look so much bigger. It does. And it's comfortable for sure. And I'll give you that. But like, you know, just because we're pregnant doesn't mean we're just gonna go only for comfort and completely forget about what we look like entirely, right? Like, we still want to look decent and cute and kind of like ourselves, but also be comfortable. So I really went into it thinking like, I want to avoid wearing maternity clothes as much as possible because in my head, I had that like muumuu scenario that I thought was the reality. But it's actually, and even actually my mom was saying when I was showing her, we went to like a maternity store a while ago, and she was like, these clothes are cute. She's like, when I was pregnant, it was not like you did not have these options. So I do feel like the maternity situation has really improved and we are benefiting from that. And there's some cute stuff. Like, there is some really, and I know I talked about this in a couple episodes. There's some actually like really cute outfits that are also really comfortable. So that's been a lot more of an enjoyable experience than I thought it would be. Another one was, and I'm starting with the positives here before we get to the negatives. But another one, and I think one of the most surprising ones to me was the feeling of empowerment. And that was actually my number one. Because, you know, while there's negatives, like, yeah, you're gaining weight, obviously, you're growing a human in your body. So, you know, you need weight to do that. But I wasn't expecting to feel kind of just like such a badass, right? Like you really, when you really start reading and watching the videos about what your body is doing and what it's creating. And every day, like I was reading or this week, the baby's like bone marrow is being formed and taking over, creating red blood cells. And its brain is going from smooth to like adding in the ridges and everything so that it could produce more brain cells. And, you know, as they continue to grow in their brain activity, and it's like, that's crazy. Like, our bodies are just making this stuff. And we're not, you know, I'm not actively doing it. I'm not like pressing any buttons or turning any dials, right? This isn't like a weird science situation. Like, I'm just living my life and this is happening naturally. And it's quite empowering at the end of the day. But like, you know what? Like, as women and or, you know, people that have uteruses that can have children, at the end of the day, it is pretty badass about what our bodies can do. It's fascinating and it's like we should be proud of that. Like, no matter what we do today, no matter what we accomplish, we created organs and we created like a nervous system and a skeleton and things that like basically my body in 9 months has accomplished more than me as a person in 40 years. So, I feel like that's kind of awesome. And I've really kind of that perspective and that feeling of empowerment has been something that I just really wasn't expecting. And I kind of love about the whole process. So that's my number one. And then some other just like little ones were how people are just nicer to you. I mean, listen, I live in a big city. I live in Chicago, right? What is it? Third biggest city in the US. And in general, the Midwestern folk, I would say, are a nicer bunch. I was actually watching this really funny video the other day, and they were saying that the difference between New Yorkers and Chicagoans is that New Yorkers are just kind of like assholes to your face, where Chicagoans will be assholes, but then they feel bad about it. I'm like, that's so true. like we still live in a big city. We could still be jerks. Okay. But at least we recognize that we're being jerks and we genuinely feel bad after the fact and we might apologize for it. So I just thought that was hilarious. But, you know, when you're pregnant, and especially, I mean, obviously when you're visibly pregnant, because when you're not, people don't know it, but people are just so much more accommodating, like so much just nicer to you, like strangers, which is, you know what? It's a nice change. And it really makes me think, like, why can't we just do this all the time, guys? Like, why does this always just have to happen when you're pregnant or when there's something like visibly happening with you? Like, why can't we just treat each other like this every day, all the time? Like, for example, yesterday we went to dinner and, you know, a lot of restaurants, especially downtown, like sometimes the bathrooms are downstairs, or like we went to this dinner a couple weeks ago. We took my mom to this new restaurant. I was really excited to try. But the bathroom, it was like a multi-story restaurant. Like the first story was, it's called Bar Mar. It's like a bar / seafood place. And then you go upstairs and that's Bizarre Meats. It's this restaurant by Jose Andres. And that's kind of more like a really interesting steakhouse. So it's a two-story situation. Well, but the bathroom is actually below the first story. So you have to either take flights of stairs or you take an elevator, which listen, when you are pregnant and you're not going to the bathroom once during dinner, you're probably going a couple times, especially when you're further along. That's a pain in the ass, like to have to like go multiple stories just to go to the bathroom is a lot. And not all of them have elevators. At least this one did, thank goodness. But like, I've gone to plenty of places where you have to go down a flight of stairs or go up a flight of stairs just to go to the bathroom. And the more pregnant you are, like that really is, you know, troublesome. So we went to this restaurant and it was the same thing. This restaurant, I believe the bathrooms, you have to go down a flight of stairs. But when I asked someone, I asked like the host, excuse me, you know, like, where's the bathroom? They're like, you know what? They like took one look at me. Clearly that says a lot about, it is very obvious I'm pregnant right now. And he was like, you know what, ma'am, you can use the one to the left of the bar. And so I go over there and it was like a one stall handicap bathroom. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about you just pretty much called me handicap, but I appreciate you for not making me to take what I assume is going to be a stair situation. So that was like nice, right? Like, thank you for making my life a little easier right there. Or I had like my doorman, who my doorman's always really great. We're really lucky actually with the doorman that we have in our building. But the other day I had to bring like a package up and he helped me bring it to the elevator, like proactively. It's just like those little things, you know, it's the little things. And I truly appreciate that. It just makes your day like a little better because people are nice to you and they're not jerks. And that feels good. So that was definitely one of them. Okay, enough about the likes. I think the dislikes are more fun to talk about. So some of my dislikes were things like touching my bump without asking. And this is kind of ironic because, you know, at a baby shower, everyone's touching your bump. And listen, I will say I have gotten a little bit more comfortable with people touching me at all. I've always been one of those people that didn't like being touched. I wasn't really like a touchy feely person. So when I became pregnant and people would touch my bump, I was extremely uncomfortable with it. I have gotten more comfortable where I will, you know, when I was visiting my friends in Florida, like I was like, oh, she's kicking, like, here, feel it. Like, I would invite them to feel it, right? And invite them into the experience, because I understand that that's, you know, a cool thing for them to experience if they want, if they want. If they said no, I would not have been offended. I did the same thing with like my niece and nephew so that they could feel a baby, right? But still with the not asking, it's one thing when you invite someone that you know and you trust to touch it. It's another thing when if people just do it without asking. It's just very surprising and it just throws me off guard and I just don't like it. But at the baby shower going in, I'm like, this is a baby shower. People are going to touch my bump. I like mentally prepared myself for the day. And I'm like, I don't care who touches my bump today because that's why we're there. Literally the whole day is about me and this baby that you can see my stomach. You know, I expected it. So I didn't mind it. That was like a free pass day. It was a free pass day. So it was kind of funny when we were going through and I said, touching my bump without asking. People were like, oh, like maybe I shouldn't have touched your bump earlier today. But I was like, no, today's a free pass. It's fine. Today's totally acceptable. And obviously everyone there, you know, I mean, they're like family and friends and stuff. So it's not also not like strangers. So that was one of them, but it was lower on the list than some of the other ones. Things that, and some of them we've talked about on this podcast, like the horror stories, the mom horror stories or the parent horror stories. That was pretty high on the list. Like don't tell me how horrible things are. Like, I don't want to hear it. That sucks. Like way to bring down the vibe, right? Like you're like so excited about becoming a parent and you're excited about meeting your little girl. And then people are like, motherhood is the worst. And you're like, Jesus Christ. Like, okay. Like maybe you had a bad day, or a bad year. I don't know, but don't like rain on my parade. Okay. Like, and I will have those days too. I'm sure I will. And then we can commiserate, but like for now, just let me be excited, you know? And I just hate those just horror stories. And then another one was people's, you know, comments about my body. Again, like if I wasn't pregnant, you would never think it was acceptable to make comments about my body and about my weight gain and about how I'm gaining the weight or if it's too much or it's not enough or really just anything. Like you would never, at least you shouldn't, if you do, like shame on you, but you would never make comments about people's bodies. And like, just because we're pregnant doesn't mean, like, we know, you don't have to tell me, I know. I have eyes. And I look in the mirror and I can see I'm gaining weight. I see it every time I go to the doctor. I see where I'm gaining weight. I have trouble bending down. I get it. Okay. Like I get that I'm gaining weight. I really don't need you to point it out. It's not a surprise to me. You're not telling me anything new. And I know you can see it. I know it's not a surprise. I know it's not a surprise for you either. So we just don't need to talk about it. Let's just leave it alone. It's not helpful, right? Like if you have nothing nice to say, like just don't say it. Unless you're saying, wow, you look great, then just shut your mouth. Another thing was I hate sleeping on my side. I hate sleeping on my side. Sleeping when you're pregnant sucks anyway. It just does, which is ironic. And another one of my dislikes is when people say, get your sleep. Like, get your sleep now. And I'm like, why? What is that going to do? I can't store sleep. You don't like bank hours of sleep. It would be great if you did, but I could sleep through my whole pregnancy. I could be like, who was that? Rumpelstiltskin, the person that slept for like 100 years. I could be that person and sleep through my entire pregnancy. It will not make me less tired. It will not make me less tired when the baby's here. That those two things are not connected. So that whole advice is just like annoying because you're like, okay. Also, you try getting a bunch of sleep when you have backaches, you have a human being kicking you from the inside, you can't roll over without a lot of effort. And if you roll over too fast, it kind of hurts. You have restless leg syndrome. You have to pee every couple hours. I mean, you name it. And you're normally a back sleeper. And that's like the one position you can't sleep in. So this whole like sleep as much as you can, I'm like, I mean, I'm sleeping the best I can, but let's be realistic. It's not well, right? And every morning, Christian's so sweet. He'll be like, how'd you sleep, babe? And, you know, I don't want to be like a Debbie Downer, but I'm like, yeah, I mean, all right. I mean, I like not great. I mean, I don't think that that's, I think like my life of sleeping well is over at this point. From what I hear from the mommy horror stories, I'll never sleep again. So I think I'm just getting ready for that, right? So yeah, I'm not really a big fan of sleeping on my side. I really, really prefer sleeping on my back. Although I have kind of figured out, I will start sleeping on my back by, I kind of build this little like ramp of pillows. It's getting kind of aggressive in the bed. Like, thank God we have a king size. Because I built this like little ramp of pillows and I have my heating pad on my lower back set to 3 out of 8. And I will sleep like that until I usually wake up at some point in the night, either to pee or because I have slid down to now where I'm laying more on my back horizontally and it's hard to breathe. And so then I will wake up and shift to my side. So, but it's a nice way to fall asleep initially, at least. Another thing that I dislike was, what was the other piece? It was, oh, you know, one thing that I did that I actually really think that I did not put on there. But it's because I just felt like it was too complicated to explain in the middle of a party. But one of my biggest pet peeves being pregnant, is people underestimating Christian, actually. You know, and I think a lot of this has to do with our society's expectations on the role of the mother versus the role of the father or partner, whoever, but especially fathers. I feel like if you're in a woman-woman relationship, I'm curious. My hypothesis is that you don't get this as much, but I'm curious if that's true or not. So if you are in that relationship, I actually would love to hear from you and tell me if it's true or not. But especially when you're in a relationship with men, it is this like societal expectation that when the baby arrives, it's pretty much on the woman because we will just naturally get everything and we'll just naturally have our motherly instinct and know what to do and be able to figure it out easier. And that these men are kind of useless and like can't take care of a baby on their own, and won't know what to do, and they'll be more uncomfortable. And you kind of hear, whether it's said directly or it's implied, that you pretty much have to do it because he's not going to be much help. And I don't, you know what, for some men, I mean, you read the, you know, statistics, where I read this horrifying statistic one time that like 40% of fathers had never changed a diaper. That statistic makes me so angry. Like, how, first of all, how does that happen? I mean, seriously, how does that happen? How have you never changed a diaper? For two reasons. One, this baby is half of your DNA. Like, you helped create this baby. This baby would not exist unless if you had it naturally, assuming, you know, we're not talking about donate sperm, stuff like that, but, or adoption, obviously, but if you have the baby naturally, we're a man and a woman's, you know, I'm not going to go through the biology lesson. You get it. But you were 50% of the creation of this child. Who the hell do you think you are that you don't have to then even change one diaper. Like, shame on you. If you are one of those men, which are, let's be honest, you're probably not listening to this, but if you're married to one of those men, how are you still married? Honestly, how are you still married? Because I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be. If they're not even willing to do that, that's kind of like bare minimum. That is bare minimum there. So if they're not willing to do it, I feel like some life decisions need to be really reconsidered. But also, ladies, how are we letting them get away with that? Like, what is the excuse that we're like, yeah, you know what? You're right. This should all fall on me. Like, what is, I'm sorry. That's also on us to hold them accountable, because we're in this together. We created this together. I didn't just wake up. This wasn't a Virgin Mary situation. Okay. I didn't just wake up and like, I'm pregnant. We chose to do this together. So yes, that comes with both of us taking responsibility. So that's one issue I have with that. And so if maybe for those men, this whole, like, they can't be fathers, they don't know what to do, I guess it applies. Although I think it's more of a willingness, not a capability situation. Because I think everyone is capable of being a good parent. It's, are they willing to be a good parent is a very different thing. Because really, like, good parenting, I mean, let's talk about that for a second. Good parenting is making sure your child is taken care of, right? Has food, shelter, clothing, right? Like, they're from a health, physical standpoint, are cared for, right? And then also that they're loved. And at the end of the day, that they feel loved. That is bare minimum for kids, right? If you have a kid, they need to have they need to be healthy. You need to do everything you can that's in your control to make sure they have what they need to be healthy, and you need to love them. So I don't think that's asking too much. I'm sorry. So I think every human being has the capability to do that equally. I don't think men or women have a better understanding of that. Now, the idea that women naturally have these motherly instincts, I understand where that comes from, because our bodies naturally create children, right? And we don't like have to put in this extra effort to do so. Our bodies know what to do. So I understand kind of the parallel there, where then you're like, oh, well, then if the body knows how to do it, the mind knows how to do it. The baby comes out and we just like know what to do. But I would like to negate that and say, that's totally unfair. I mean, that's putting a lot of pressure on women to just like know how to do stuff. And as I'm going through this process, and I've been around kids, I mean, I am comfortable around kids and babies and whatever. But, you know, like in a couple weeks, we're taking our Understanding Your Newborn class. And like one of the biggest things I have is the biggest questions and reasons I want to take the class are bathing a newborn. I'm like, I have no idea how to bathe a newborn. Like, if you handed me a newborn right now, I'm sure I would make a ton of mistakes on how to, like, I don't know how often, I don't know, you know, what I need to, I mean, they just were born out of the womb. So their skin is probably freaking out, right? Being in like the real world, they had an umbilical cord cut. So like logically that tells me that they probably don't bathe like I do, right? They're probably not sitting in some like soapy scented water. Like, I probably need some hypoallergenic stuff for like sensitive skin, but like, I don't know. I don't, looking at the bathtub that I got on my registry and the fact that it has this like cloth sling and it has like, it says it grows with your baby. I don't understand why it grows with your baby. I don't understand what the different ways of using it are and like when you should use them. It's like, I have no idea what I'm doing there. Okay. And that's kind of important. Like, how do you bathe your child? So that kind of goes back to that health situation. So I'm a mother. I don't naturally know how to do that. I've never had to deal with a crying baby that I couldn't give back to their parents. like the baby starts crying, I hand it over. I've never had to like figure it out until they stop crying. The parent just knew what to do. So Christian and I are going in this at the same level. We don't know how to do that. And the idea that just because I'm a woman, I'm going to be able to figure it out quicker. Honestly, I just don't think that's fair. I don't think it's fair for men. And I think that it just gives them like the out to then never change a diaper, right? Like that whole narrative of that the woman is natural at this, if you're being told that as a man, then it's like, why try? Like, why should I even try if everyone's telling me that she's going to know what to do and I don't know what to do, right? And I think that it's so not fair. And Christian is such a capable man. And he is so excited about this baby and he's so hands-on, right? And so it's like, there's no reason why I should or anyone should assume that, you know what, like maybe I'll figure out how to do something better, but then maybe he's going to figure out like how to do something else better. And we're going to learn from each other. So it really irritates me when there's like comments or people are like, well, you'll just get it. Like he'll just be like more uncomfortable or it will take him longer or whatever. I truly do not believe that. I truly don't. I think that we are both very capable adults. And I think that neither of us have done this before. And we're going to lean on each other to figure out how to do it and what the best way is. And we are going to have different ways of doing things. And that's also okay. Because I think the other reason why men a lot of the times will back off and not participate as much is because we as mothers, if it's ingrained in our head that we know best, then I would imagine it's pretty difficult when your husband's doing it in a different way for you to just like allow him to do it. Because in your mind, you're thinking like, well, that's not how I do it. So therefore it's wrong. But the reality is it's not wrong. It's just different, right? Like if you both have different methods to get the baby to stop crying, who cares the method? Right? Like who cares? There's no right or wrong. You know what's right? If baby stops crying, then it's right. Then you did it right. Like it doesn't matter what it took to get there. If you did it, as long as assuming the baby is not injured or like you didn't drug them or something. If baby stopped crying, you did it just fine. And like if baby at the end of the day is healthy, happy, has eaten, is alive, you're doing it right. You're doing it right. I think just putting the pressure, especially on new parents that have never done it, but even on other parents, because every child is different and what worked for one child doesn't mean it's going to work for the next. It's just like, we need to just stop putting pressure and we need to stop the narrative that one gender is better than the other gender when it comes to childcare. Cause that's just, it's actually just doesn't help anybody. And we need to stop. So that's probably a really big one of mine. But as you could see, I didn't really want to go on like a rant in the middle of my baby shower. But that one I feel pretty strong about. So I left it off the list. But yeah, we had these likes, dislikes. Nobody got it right. And honestly, who cares? It was fun. So it was a little bit of a bust, but it was different. It was fun. That's fine. It's not like I like ruined the party. And then we opened the gifts, my favorite part of the day. And I also just want to say, I really appreciate people that don't just go for the cute item on the registry. I mean, listen, I get it. I love baby clothes too. I love, they're adorable. They're adorable. And they're much more enjoyable to watch people open than like a breast pump. So I get it. I understand. Like, I can't help myself. We have just random clothes we've been buying because I just can't help myself. Now I go to Target and they'll have like a sale, and I come home with like six onesies because I can't stop myself. I understand. But also on the flip side, there's some real needs on there, right? Like you actually need some of the stuff to keep the baby healthy, happy, and alive. So I really appreciated the people that got me, like, thank you, my friend, for getting me the starter kit that has like the nail clippers, the like snot sucker thing, which, can we use that as an adult? Because that sounds kind of enjoyable. Like, I kind of want to try it on myself. Like, is that weird? Has anyone else tried that? Because I read that and I was like, I kind of love that. Especially if you have a cold, like, does that help you? Like, forget the neti pot. Could I just use the child's snot sucker thing? Like, I don't know. We'll have to try it out. Thermometer, right? Things like that. Thank you so much to the person that got me the cooling gels for and the nipple cream. It's like stuff like that that you're like, we need these things. Like, I could get more clothes. I could get, more toys. Like, they're nice to haves, right? But like, you need some of these things before the baby comes. So think about that when you're going to your next baby showers. Like, I know you probably want to get the cute stuff, but trust me, everyone, they're gonna get plenty of cute stuff. What can you get them that is useful, right? Because at the end of the day, that's really what they need. And they're going to have to buy it one way or another. They're going to need it one way or another. So maybe help with that. We did have some stars of the show, I will say. We had my mom created like a ton of bib. Like, I will never have to buy a bib for this child's life. Like, I now have more, probably like a bib for every day of the year. But she handmade all of them, which is sweet, because I can't wait to like tell a kid one day, like, grandma made you this, right? Like, that's just gonna be a cute story. And she made them for like each holiday. And I immediately thought about, Ginza has a couple scarves for holidays, and I like immediately thought about both of them having pictures together with their holiday scarf and bib. It's gonna be adorable. So there's that. So that was definitely really cute, and I really appreciate that. She also made this like diaper tower that had like adorable safari like rattles and these like elephant fuzzy booties. I mean, just, again, like bunch of just baby accessories that are freaking adorable. So that was really sweet. I know she worked really hard on that. And I love like handmade things. I love when you have like additional thought put into it, right? And those two gifts are great because they're not only really cute, but they're also useful, right? So like, you need bibs and you need diapers, and you need booties, and like, why not make it all really cute? So I love those. And then my aunt actually hand painted a chair, which it's now the smallest chair we have in the house, and it's adorable. And because Christian and I love travel, she did it based on the Dr. Seuss, what is it called? Of all the places we'll go. And it's hand painted. And I'll take a picture and I'll also put that on the site. And it's adorable. And again, I can't wait to see her sit in it and to tell her that her aunt made this for her, right? Like, it's just special. So overall, it was great. It wasn't too long. I mean, if I'm gonna say, I feel like that's really biased, but whatever, it's my show. I could be biased. But it was really great. It was beautiful. The decorations were great. The food was great. Everyone had a great time. I really enjoyed it. It was really special just to, you know, look around the room and just see the love and support that we have during this journey from family and friends. So I really appreciated it. And it was probably the first baby shower that I really enjoyed. And you know what? And I think that moving forward, now I have a different perspective and I have baby showers. I will enjoy them more moving forward. And then lastly, before we cut out for today, we started our prenatal classes, which I'm excited about because, like I said, Christian and I don't know what the hell we're doing, right? And I'm excited that he's excited and wants to go with me in general, right? Like that, I think, is just setting a really good precedent that, like, we're in this together and we're going to learn that together as we go. And so we're taking four overall. We're taking the Understanding the Birth class, which is what we just took. We're taking the Understanding Your Newborn class, which helps with things like how to bathe, how to see that there's, how to determine if they're sick, like comfort techniques, which, listen, all of that sounds very useful. We're doing the CPR and safety class, which is very important. And then I'm doing a breastfeeding class. And actually, Christian's doing the breastfeeding class too, just because I think it's good for him to understand what goes into it. And, you know, I mean, obviously he can't breastfeed, but he's going to be around doing it. And I think it's important for him. So we're going to do that together as well. So first we took the Understanding the Birth class. And I will say I was fully expecting to go into this class and come out traumatized and terrified about what was to come. Birth has been probably the thing that I've been most anxious about, other than Ginza liking the baby. I'm still a little anxious about that. But birth is something that's scary, right? Because, again, you hear just a ton of horror stories. It's also a massive medical procedure, right? And there's so many things that could go wrong. And as I'm now 40, there's so many more risks for me. So it's intimidating and it's scary, and just the thought of the pain and it's scary. So we went to the class and I was literally expecting, I was kind of dreading it a little bit, but I was like, this is important. We need to go. And I will say, first of all, it was 4 hours long, which sounds like a nightmare, but we didn't mind it. And actually Christian and I really enjoyed it. We learned so much. We learned about the different stages and how to tell, like, preterm labor versus full term, and what to do and the signs and when to call your doctor and different methods to help the labor move along, different methods to stop the labor if you're in preterm, exactly what to expect when you get to the hospital, the different decisions that are made, why they're made, at what stages they're made. And it just, honestly, we really came out of that class feeling so much better about the whole situation, feeling more confident, feeling confident in the hospital that we're giving birth at, and the nurses and the doctors, in the process, as well as just confidence in ourselves that we now kind of have the information we need to make good decisions and to, you know, make it the best it, you know, it can be. And it kind of made me, like, actually a little bit more excited about the birthing process and not scared of it. Because I think a lot of it, maybe I was just scared of, like, the unknown, right? Of just, like, not knowing what was going to happen. And I still don't know. I mean, you don't really know until you're in it, but I feel like I'm at least armed with the information, so I'll understand what's going on and I'll understand why things are happening. But like for example, I kind of went in thinking 100% I'm going to do an epidural. Like, I was like, there's no way. I'm absolutely doing an epidural. I want no pain. And by the end of class, which I will also say, they did a great job of not judging you for anything. They weren't judging you if you were going to breastfeed for the baby after, or if you're going to do formula. They weren't judging you if you wanted an epidural or not. if you were planning an induction or a C-section versus if you weren't. Like, they just went through what the process was and stuff like that, and made it very clear. It was like a no judgment zone, which I also truly appreciate. But I kind of left being like, maybe I want to try not having an epidural. Like, and Christian was like, what? That's crazy. He's like, looking at that, it looks like it, you probably would need one. And I was like, I don't know. I have a pretty high pain tolerance, actually. And I guess I didn't realize some of the restrictions in movement. I mean, obviously there's a restriction of movement when you're numbing the bottom half of your body, but I guess I didn't realize like how restricted it was going to be, or I never thought about it that way. And then seeing on how, you know, they basically said preterm is about doing everything you can to keep the baby in longer. Right. And then once you get past 38 weeks, if you start having contractions, your job is to help it move along. And so I really liked how they put it that way. And then I was like, well, if I get the epidural, a lot of the things that help move it along, like moving around, walking, standing, things like that, like you no longer can do. So it just got me thinking, and I was like, well, I just see how it goes. Maybe it's not a guarantee that I'm going to have one. I mean, I'm not opposed to having one, but maybe we see how it goes. And like, if I'm around 6-7 centimeters and I feel like I can kind of do it for longer, maybe I don't do it. I don't know, which is, I just never thought I would consider that actually. But it was such a great class. I mean, we both left, we were starving, because I wasn't expecting to be there. The class was supposed to be from like 9 to 11:30 and it went to like 1. So we were both like famished by the time we left. We went straight to lunch and like ordered burgers. I was like, I need like, I'm so hungry. But I will say, I mean, we both just got so much out of it. And I'm so glad that we went. And I'm so glad I was not traumatized. They showed us like 4 birthing videos. And I thought those for sure were going to scare the shit out of me. And I found them weirdly emotional. Like I was tearing up watching them. In a good way, not because I was like terrified, like in a good way. Which I was not expecting that either. I mean, that close up view of a birth is not what I thought would make me tear up. And then I really thought, I'm like, I am going to be a freaking mess after. I am going to be bawling. I can already tell that baby's going to come out. They're going to put her on my chest and I am going to be a blubbering mess. That's what's going to happen. I could see it right now. If I'm like already crying, looking at other people's vaginas deliver babies, like I'm going to be a mess. So yeah, it was our first one. And you know what? I think it made both of us really excited for the next couple. Cause I felt that was the one I was like least excited about. And now that I actually enjoyed it, I was like, oh, I think the other ones are going to be great. So if you have the opportunity, whether it's through your insurance, whether it's through your hospital or your community center or wherever, I really highly recommend taking classes. Because I'll tell you what, I truly feel so much better about the whole process. And I'm kind of excited about it. So if for nothing else, to shift me from scared to excited was worth it. Was worth the 4 hours and a little bit of starvation. So yeah, that's what's been going on here quite a bit. But you know, more to come. The pregnancy is coming to an end. Next week, we'll talk about my where I'm at with my career coach, because that's been moving along too. And I will say things are looking pretty good. So we are 31 weeks in the pregnancy. Shit is counting down. I mean, especially going to that class, I think it was a big wake-up call and urgency push for Christian, because he realized that if our job starting at 38 weeks is to help this labor come, then that means we're like 7-8 weeks away. And that is going to fly by. I mean, we're already at football season. Like the fact that preseason football is happening right now, I don't know where this year went. So if that can happen that quickly, we don't have that much longer. So I think his urgency level, I think, has started to increase and probably start matching mine, because that's kind of where I was at. So I'm glad he's now there. But we don't have that much longer left. And so, you know, I look forward to the next couple months, literally 2 months, where we're getting the last bits ready before this new addition to our family finally joins us and we get to meet her and see what she's like. But also that I, like I said, I've been working with a career coach, and I think we're starting to narrow down what things might look like on the other end. And then I start working with the resume writer. So that's exciting too, because that's kind of also prepping me for my next stage of my career. So really exciting things happening. I'm not going to take any more weeks off in between now and the end of season 2, which I plan is pretty much when I have the baby. So because listen, there's not that many weeks left. So thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you could relate to some of it. Would love to hear your stories. You can follow me on my almost midlife crisis on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, YouTube. And you can also go to the blog and subscribe, myalmostmidlifecrisis.com, to get it emailed directly to your inbox. So thank you, and until next time.